Good morning, everyone. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And welcome this day when we have our children's program coming up in just a few minutes later on in the service. I'd like to highlight a few announcements, if I may. Draw your attention to those on the back page of the bulletin. We're still continuing our manna food drive on our way towards 1 ton of canned fruits by the end of the year, so please help out with that as you are able. Also, want to lift up our Christmas Eve service this year. It's going to be at 5 p.m., and it's going to be a little different than normal. We're doing a historical sort of Christmas Eve service, one that might have taken place in the late 1700s, early 1800s, and so we're going to have music and the liturgy from all that time. So it should be something very different and very sacred in this time of year. And a reminder that our offering that night, Christmas Eve, will go to the fuel fund for ABCCM to help heat homes of those less fortunate in our area. There's a party going on tonight at 5 p.m., handbell practice between St. Paul's and it's not really a party, though, is it, Ann? But St. Paul's and anyone who would like to help out with our handbell choir for the Christmas Eve service is invited to come along at 5 p.m. here at the church today. And if you're not engaged in that, the Sam's Club and the Clarence Gilbert class are having their Christmas party, and that's at Arlie's. Over at 51 Culverin Street, Arlie, just right by Asheville Catholic School, at 5 p.m., and it's a covered dish. So, let's see. There's Kitty, you have an announcement for us with...
Good morning. I bring you greetings from the Asbury Memorial Capital Campaign Committee. It's been 7 months since we started talking to you about this, and I say that to emphasize that we know it's been 7 months. That's a big passage of time. I wish we had more glad tidings, but I have some things. We are not quite ready for prime time as yet. That means we're not quite ready to raise the funds for a capital campaign, which is the job of that committee. So what's up? After some designs were presented, for the memorial garden and the tree replacement, which really were the impetus for this whole project, it was clear that the ideas and the strategies really weren't quite gelled. So the trustees determined that an overall look at our building and grounds was in order if we were going to accomplish the following. the Memorial Garden and tree replacement, a possible drive and parking lot to improve handicap accessibility, also the potential to improve the lower level of the building to better waterproof it and improve that floor, and also to reorganize the space to the rear of the sanctuary for a restroom and growing and changing office needs. The trustees are now engaged in master plan preparation. A topographical survey is underway now, and soon an overall plan. Why? Why all this planning? Well, Asbury has not had a capital campaign for decades. We want to make sure we do it right, that we take seriously the wishes of the congregation and the possibilities and limitations of our building and our property to meet not just today's needs, but to be looking into the future for the congregations and community needs a long time from now. As that master plan takes shape, we'll be back in touch. And meanwhile, we really do welcome your input. Our fundraising will not begin until we are assured of an overall acceptable strategy that includes the weigh-in by the Finance Committee, obviously the trustees, the Church Council. They don't call us Methodists for nothing. If you'd like to help, you can join the trustees group, and that would be Scott Glenn you need to talk with. But I also want to, and also the Capital Campaign, we welcome your input. Thanks to the Capital Campaign Committee, and that does include Elaine Poovey, who co-chairs it with me, and also Scott Glenn, Rob Chasen, Rick Moorhead, Curtis Goforth, and Robert Wiltshire, who is our inspirational guide. This information is going to appear in your year-end statement letter, the early part of 2014, and any new progress we have to report. Meanwhile, if you have a feeling you'd like to make a contribution, that process is in place, and at any time you can write a check. Just make sure you mark it clearly for the capital campaign. There is more than $3,500 heading toward $4,000 already, thanks to some gifts of securities and other leadership giving. So it's important, but it's taking a long time. We appreciate it, and if you'd like to talk with any of us about it, we'd be glad to speak with you. And meanwhile, we ask for God's help and your prayers as we try to maintain harmony and look for completeness and creativity in this project. Thank you.
Thank you, Kitty. Are there, I'd like to highlight just a couple more announcements. Some of you may have heard Rick Moorhead's mother, Frances, who's been on our prayer list for a while. She had a cardiac arrest this last week, and they were able to revive her, and she's doing better. She's still at mission. And our prayers go out, Karen, to you and Steve's passing this week. His funeral will be at Morris Funeral Home tomorrow. Visitation at 1 and the funeral at 2. And you all are invited and welcome at that service. So our prayers are with those families in particular. I'd like to ask my family to come forward for our Advent wreath litany. And congregation, you all are invited to sing along with the words that are printed in bold there in our bulletins.
Longing for the light, we wait in darkness. Longing for truth, we turn to you. Make us your own, your holy people, light for the world to see. Our world is troubled, longing for hope, many despair. Your word alone has power to save us. Make us your living voice. Hungry, longing for water, many still thirst. Make us your bread, broken for others, shared until all are fed.
invite you to stand. Our opening hymn is number 206, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light. 206. I invite you to remain standing as we turn in the back of our hymn books to the Psalter, to number 807, as we read responsively from Psalm number 89. 807. I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. You've said, I've made a covenant with my chosen one. I've sworn to David, my servant.
I will establish your descendants forever and build your throne for all generations.
Then you spoke in a vision to your faithful one and said,
I have set a crown upon one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people.
I found David, my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed him. The enemy shall not outwit him. The wicked shall not humble him.
I will crush his foes before him and strike down those who hate him.
My faithfulness and my steadfast love shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted.
I will set his hand on the sea and his right hand on rivers.
He shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. My steadfast love I will keep for him forever, and my covenant will stand firm for him.
I will establish his line forever, and his throne as the days of the heavens.
If his children forsake my law and do not walk according to my ordinances,
if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments,
Then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with scourges. I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that went forth from my lips.
Once for all I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David.
His line shall endure forever, his throne as long as the sun before me.
Like the moon, it shall be established forever. It shall stand firm while the skies endure.
Please be seated, and I will turn over the rest of the service to Sally Ann and to the kids.
If the children will come forward to their places and the youth to their places, please.
What are we preparing for?
It's Advent, the first season of the church year, the time we prepare for the coming of the Christ child, the birth of a king. Advent is the reason we decorated the sanctuary with trees, wreaths, garlands, and lights.
What is this? It is funny looking.
They're called chrismons. They are a Christian symbol that gives honor to Jesus Christ.
Why are they called chrismons?
The word chrismons actually comes from two words you know, Christ and monogram. A chrismon is just that, a monogram of Christ.
What's a monogram?
Have you ever put your initials on a sweater or a jacket or a special backpack or suitcase?
I have. My initials are CEG. That stands for Cora, so go forth.
If we made a monogram for Jesus Christ today, it would be JC for Jesus Christ. But when Jesus was alive, they didn't speak or write in English. They wrote in Hebrew and later in Greek. This ornaments first two letters of the Greek word for Christ, X, which is Chi, and P, which is Rho. XP is Chi Rho.
In the Godly Play classroom, our focal or front shelf has the two common I am statements of Jesus. I am the light. I am the good shepherd.
Yes, and that's why there's a chrismon of a lamp. The lamp reminds us that God's word was made flesh in Jesus Christ. Like Psalm 119 says, God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path.
I love that song.
This is where you guys come in.
I don't know the tune.
Hymn 601. Are we going to do that?
No.
No, Rachel.
Okay.
I like this ornament. It looks like a fish. Because Jesus and the Cybermen were fishermen?
Yes, it's one of the most ancient symbols of Jesus Christ. The Greek word for fish is ichthys, and it is the acrostic on the first letters of Jesus Christ.
It is funny looking.
That represents a manger. It is a wood structure used to hold feed or for the animals in the field or in barn.
It reminds us that Jesus wasn't born in a palace or even a home. He was born in a stable. Do you know a song about that?
Yes, so I know.
This is where you say yes.
Away in a manger.
Just the children.
Look at this, and why are there so many crosses on this ornament?
After Jesus died on a cross, the cross became a common symbol for Jesus. This cross is called the Jerusalem cross, and it has many meanings. Some say that the five crosses represent the five wounds Jesus suffered at his crucifixion. Others say that it signifies Christian mission. The large center cross stands for the Christian church in Jerusalem, and the four smaller crosses signify that Jesus reigns eternal to the four corners of the world.
How does Jesus reign? I've never seen him when it rains.
No, not R-A-I-N, but R-E-I-G-N, the time period when a monarch is in power.
What is a monarch?
Yes, they are, but they are also people who rule. The people who waited and watched for Jesus were expecting a ruler or a king.
Is that why there's a king's crown on the tree?
Yes, Jesus was called King of the Jews and King of Kings, Lord of Lords, ruler over all.
Huh? Why are there butterflies?
Well, have you learned that caterpillars turn into a chrysalis and then into butterflies?
Yes.
Well, that is why we use butterflies as the symbol of Jesus Christ. They remind us that even though Jesus died on the cross, God brought Jesus back to life again.
What about the flowers?
Those aren't just any flower. They're dogwood blossoms.
So why are they on the tree?
Legend has it that the dogwood, which once grew straight and tall, was the source of the wood used for the cross. Jesus was said to have decreed that it shall be slender and bent and twisted, never good for making crosses again. And the blossoms shall be in the form of a cross, two short petals and two long.
In the center of the outer edge of the petals there will be nail prints, brown with rust and stained with red. In the center of the flower, a crown of thorns. Thus the dogwood would be cherished as a reminder of the death of Christ.
I see a bird. My grandmother always said, every tree should have a bird in it.
Yes, the triangle.
Should I answer? The triangle is a symbol which includes the Holy Spirit. The triangle is for the Trinity God of the Father. Jesus is only Son and the Holy Spirit.
Why isn't there an angel on? What is this one? It is sort of like a triangle.
It's the fanciest one on our tree. It's called triquetra and circle. It has three separate arcs, which symbolize the Trinity, God in three persons. Add the circle, which represents eternity, God, the eternal one, or eternal life with God. If you look closely, you can see the outline of a fish also. So this chrismon proclaims a variety of truths.
Why isn't there an angel on the top of the tree?
Just a choice. Do you remember who told Jesus' mother, Mary, that she was going to have a baby and that she should name him Jesus?
Well, who?
An angel.
And who came to the shepherds in the field the night that Jesus was born?
A whole bunch of angels.
So angels are very important to the Christmas story. Even the littlest angels are important, especially here at Asbury.
If you all will have a seat up here, we're going to have a children's message now. Thank you for your singing and your telling of the chrismons. You all have been working hard on that, and that means last week we forgot to do something that we've traditionally done in this church. What's missing from our manger up here on the table?
Mary and Joseph, the baby, and the donkey.
Well, Mary and Joseph and the baby are on their way, aren't they? They're not there till Christmas Day when the baby gets born. So where some animals and some shepherds, I think I heard. So we need to move. So I need four of you, Barfour, Cora, Lila, and Eliza, to go over to this window. Asia, you go with them and move. Each of you take a figure and move it forward to the next windowsill, and they may need some help over there. And then Eliza and Harper and Haley and Elliot and Chloe, if you'll go back here, and maybe Miss Madeline can help you move those figures to the next windowsill. Thank you. Advent, that time of preparing. So even the shepherds haven't quite gotten there. I think there's one cow in the manger. He's probably living there. And next week, I think the shepherds will join him and some sheep. And those, what are those? Those are the shepherds and the sheep. And then Christmas Eve, we'll get Mary and Joseph and the baby. And after that, who's the last ones to come to the stable? The three wise men, that's right. So you all are helping to tell the Christmas story here in our sanctuary, just as the symbols on the chrismon tree help to tell the story there. Let's stand for a prayer. Can you all circle around, please? Thank you, God, for the many ways that we have just here in our sanctuary to tell of the story. Help us to learn that story in our hearts that we may share it any and every day with someone we love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Miss Cora, you need to go over that way, and I need 4 bread tin helpers, and do we know where the bread tins are? Barfor, will you go around and get the tins, please? We'll hear more about the bread tin, but it is going to support the United Methodist College Fund.
I'll bring a can of argent bear as you bring one too.
Testament lesson comes from Isaiah 35, verses 1 through 10. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God.
Strengthen the weak hands and make the firm the fendle knees. Stay to those who are faithful hearts. Be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. Here will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you.
Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For the waters shall break forth from in the wilderness, and the streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become like a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes.
A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Come to Zion, and the people will gather and clap their hands.
Let us turn to God in prayer. Holy, holy, holy one who we are preparing for your birth among us again, and we are reminded of what a gift that was to each and every one of us. And we thank you, God. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We come with joy of the season and yet heavy hearts as life continues and people are hospitalized, procedures are done, deaths occur, and we think of Karen and Ellis family and all those who are mourning Steve's death. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And yet the children, their eyes still twinkle, their voices still sing, and they know the joy that this time of year is about, and they remind us that our souls are here to give glory to you, O God, to praise your name and lift up our hearts and our voices always and everywhere to you. Give us that extra bit of energy during this busy, busy time to not leave you out, but to bring you to the forefront. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Help us to remember others who have been listed on our prayer list and those that are added now as we think of Peggy Masters, who's in Mission Hospital, Rick, who's with his mother and father at the hospital, is Francis, is awaiting a procedure tomorrow, and all those that may be heavy on our hearts that are unnamed or named in silence to you at this time. Lord, in your mercy. And as we come to that point in the service where we start moving beyond the message, beyond the songs, been thinking of where we go from here, remind us that we do want to walk as children of the light. We do want to shine in the world. We do want to bring light in the darkness. But we often need your help, your urging, your pushing even. Lord, in your mercy. And be with us now as we come silently and hear those prayers. And then, as your Son, our Savior, taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. I invite our ushers forward to help us as we give of our tithes to God.
opportunity to worship and give of ourselves and give of our riches, our wealth, our fruits, our labors. Receive this and bless this. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 220, Angels from the Realms of Glory. Sing with us now.
Amen. Amen. Prepare the way.